The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Testing.
Testies. 1, 2, 3.
Ah!
I don't know shit about fuck.
Thank y'all. Come again.
I like sucking.
What?
Legit fat podcast.
So who's gay?
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Well, hey, welcome back to Legit Bat.
Do you suck dicks?
Ben isn't here, so I gotta verbally abuse him while he's not here.
Why are you gay?
I think you play that sound clip every single time Ben even is here.
I love it so much. It's such a good clip.
So who is gay?
I even put it in the intro on the last couple shows because it works for so many things. So I'm Joe. Jen is with me. Ben is not here, as we stated. Our guest tonight is Lord Byron, and what a background he has. It looks like a witchcraft temple, so that's cool. So what's your deal, dude? What do you do? We got an email from you a couple months ago, I think, at this point, and you said you can talk about all kinds of things like magic and all the stuff that we like to talk about. So give us a little intro on yourself.
My name is Byron. I'm originally from a small island on the eastern shore in Virginia. The island the house that we lived in was the old funeral home for the island. And I think at like 1 month, they had like 120 bodies in there or something.
Gross.
Yeah. So, you would just see spirits all the time, there and, just hanging out. The one thing that I really remember from it was they were always dressed nice,
The spirits are like Victorian or?
Well, it was a funeral home, so I'm assuming it had something to do with that,
Oh, yeah, because they always bury people in tuxes and stuff.
Don't you think they'd be wearing what they wore when they died? Or do they wear what they're wearing when they're buried? What's the rule on that,
Maybe they like the burial clothes better than their own.
Yeah, I have no idea, but the house is still up. No one lives in it at the moment, but people will still see, spirits walking around there, even though the house is completely empty, and they'll still see like my grandma rocking in the rocking chair, even though there's not even a rocking chair in the house.
Creepy.
Yeah.
That whole area, the East Coast. I mean, we were just in Boston, Salem specifically, and that whole area just seems to have a lot of that weirdness. I don't know what it is about the East Coast, but it seems like it's more than over here on the West Coast where we just see fucking Bigfoot, I guess.
Yeah.
So are you still living over there right now or?
No. Shortly after that, we were living on a military base. It was kind of like a suburb of a military base, not too far from Norfolk, Virginia. And that was pretty bizarre, too. They would, pull me out of class. And when I was a little kid, I used to always go out of body, and I would always dream what was going to happen to me before it happened to me. So I'd, wake up knowing what was going to happen to me that day. And so they would pull me out of class and do these weird tests, and they weren't like harmful or anything. They were just trying to see like how well you can keep a secret, kind of moral fortitude stuff, like if you would do something messed up if you were told to, and how well you could keep it. It was really bizarre. But the only person that got pulled out of class that I know was this other kid. It was just me and this other kid from like a different grade in a different class. And it was so bizarre because I would always dream when it was going to happen to me. So I would just sit there in class like waiting for them to pull me out of class. And it was never like a set schedule. They just showed up, really, really bizarre. And I never thought anything of it until like years later. I was living in Washington State, just like in a college town, just like 30 minutes from the Canadian border, 20 minutes from the Canadian border. It was kind of during like the whole the secret soldier, super soldier thing that was going on back, like 10 years ago or whatever.
Corey Good and those folks.
Yeah. I think some of those guys are probably full of crap, but
Most
but
likely.
It definitely made me think. It was like, you know, that was really weird. And it didn't happen to me in any of my other schools. Only this one school, you know, that was like practically a military school.
Weird.
Really bizarre. Really bizarre. So, you know, my parents got divorced. We moved out to Western Washington. And, you know, that's kind of where I spent most of my growing up, was in Washington State.
Oh, okay. So that's quite a move.
Yeah. Yeah. Coast to coast. Yeah.
What do you think of Washington? Is it weird?
Washington? Yeah. There's a lot of, so especially like where I was living right before we moved out here to Utah, which Utah is pretty bizarre too. We'll get into that, I'm sure, man. Anyway. So we were living by, are you familiar with like paranormal hotspots?
Roughly. I know I've heard a lot of stories, and you know, Pacific Northwest is one of them.
Yeah.
There's so a lot in Utah too with the Skinwalkers.
Oh yeah.
Dude, I'm literally just like 20 minutes from Skinwalker Ranch.
Okay.
Yeah. Ooh. And the negative entities here are a lot more aggressive and persistent than any negative entities I've ever encountered in my life. There's a weird dark underbelly in Utah. And it's so weird because it's like Stepford Wives, where everyone puts on this facade of perfection. I'll get into it later, but Utah's a weird place, man, if you got eyes to see, you know what I mean?
I mean, that's where Mormons are, so yeah.
Yeah, not only that. Yeah, you also have like the Blood Covenant and a lot of closet Satanists, and not that there's anything really wrong with being a Satanist. I don't want to like demonize anyone for their beliefs, but some of the closet Satanists are the more messed up ones, you know?
Yeah, you got to watch out for the quiet ones. Those are the ones that are probably actually sacrificing like goats and stuff.
Yeah, like the ones that are actually active members in the church, and they're like dentists and lawyers, and you would have no idea if you met them in person that they were a Satanist. Yeah, those guys are usually the ones that are up to no good.
And there's a lot of those out there.
Oh yeah, I think the last dentist I went to, I think he was a closet Satanist.
How could you tell?
I'll get into it later.
Oh okay.
So like the hot spot that I live by in Washington, it's been on a bunch of paranormal shows. I was just like 15 minutes away from it. It was Northern State. It was an old like mental institution. They got shut down.
Already creepy.
Oh yeah. Well, dude, it gets worse. Like, so they have like this giant mass grave where they were just shoveling bodies like unmarked, like into big piles and just burying them in this graveyard. And you know, like those videos of the Holocaust where they're just shoveling dead bodies into the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was basically like that. They basically did that here. And yeah, the spirits are really pissed off there. They don't really mess around. But I lived like 15 minutes from that place. And then up the highway, like another half an hour past that, is Devil's Tower. That's another hot spot. The Devil's
Tower.
Is that
the one that looks like a tree stump?
No, Devil's Tower. That's what they call it. It's like an old factory or something.
Oh.
But I remember pulling up there, and you could hear the signal going in and out on the radio, and you can like hear like these really like evil sounding, I guess, spirits, you know, coming through the radio, and it was just like, wow, wow.
What do they call that? EVPs or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. And it's not uncommon for like if you go online and look at people that are like taking pictures and selfies there to see like a spirit or an orb or something in the background. It's not uncommon, and they don't even know they took the picture, that they caught it. You know, like a lot of people are just oblivious to it, but it's not uncommon to just look at pictures of the place and just see stuff in the background.
Weird. You know? So is this something you've like been noticing your whole life? I mean, you said growing up you kind of had weird experiences, but far as like actually seeing entities and stuff, that's something you are used to? It's just like normal?
Yeah, well, it depends on how long they've been in the area, really. It's kind of like an ectoplasm thing. But yeah, I've always been able to see it, you know. And so when I was living in the college town just like 20 minutes south of the Canadian border. I don't know. Are you guys familiar with Washington State at all?
No,
not really.
I've been through it once, and we flew in there a couple weeks ago on a layover, but that's all I know of Washington, really.
All right. Well, this was in Bellingham, and it was probably the coolest town I ever lived in my entire life before everyone went insane. I'm sure you guys can relate to that because it happened so fast. You know, everyone just went completely nuts. But so we were living in this apartment. And it's so weird too, because we checked out like three apartments, and we went and told the lady that we liked the energy in this one better, and she had this scared look, like she saw a ghost on her face, right? Like, really? And I remember thinking, like, why did someone die in there or something? And I didn't say anything, you know, but so we're in there, you know, stuff starts happening, you know, we start showing signs of like possession and everything. And this one night we smoked some DMT. Have you guys ever done DMT?
Not yet.
No.
It's on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's worth doing like 40 or 50 times in your life. Anyway, you know, it's the West Coast, you know, but so, and we saw this slightly overweight woman hanging from a ceiling fan in the dining room, right? And it was like kind of crisp and clear. It wasn't like a distorted psychedelic hallucination, and it wasn't like a bad trip or anything, you know. It was totally a good trip. It was just like part of the background, you know, like a photograph almost.
She's just hanging out,
literally. And so when we're moving out, it's so funny. And this is where it really kind of started setting in, you know. When we were moving out, we noticed that because we're on the top floor, and we noticed that all of the apartments on the top floor, they all had ceiling fans in the dining room, except for my house. Mine was the only one that didn't have a ceiling fan in the dining room.
Oh, weird. So you saw a ceiling fan though anyway?
Yeah, she was hanging from a ceiling fan, yeah.
Did you ever find out if there like used to be a ceiling fan there?
Oh, there totally was. Like I said, every single apartment next to mine and the entire upper floor had one. Mine was the only one that didn't.
What a trip.
So you were you doing DMT with other people?
Yeah, it was with my girlfriend.
Did she see that woman as well?
Yeah, she's super psychic.
Weird. So you guys had a shared hallucination?
Yeah, if you want to call it that, yeah.
Interesting.
A shared experience, we'll call it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any more of those where like more than one person saw the same exact thing and then?
You know, well, going back to the DMT, yeah, there was lots of times when people would see like entities around me when we would blast off, you know.
Oh, weird.
Did you see them as well?
Oh, my entity? Well, I knew they were there. It's not like I'm looking at myself when I'm tripping balls, you know.
Yeah. They're just looking around. Yeah. I mean, like if they were around you.
Hmm. Yeah, you know. So. But there's been lots of shared experiences on DMT. This is one of the cool things about DMT, because you're totally high as balls. You know, you're frying. You're in a totally another dimension. But the stuff you're seeing is real. It's different than any other psychedelic. You know what I mean? And so this one time, we're at my buddy's house. We all grew weed up there. You know, I mean, you know, we're all medical growers, right? So we're at one of my buddy's houses, and we were also all like well over our numbers. You know, 'cause that's what you do. You know, you're not going to make money off 15 plants. You know what I mean?
Especially not now.
Especially not now. And that played a big role in me having to get a job and everything when they changed the law.
But I bet.
Yeah, whatever. I was happy to see it go in a way. But so we all blasted off and we saw the house getting raided. We're at my buddy's house, right? And we all come out of it and we're just like looking at each other like, dude, that was not cool. And people are trying to tell us we're tripping. You guys are just being paranoid. We're like, no, that wasn't paranoia. We all saw it. And then so we cleaned out the whole house, left like maybe three or four plants there. And like literally 2 or 3 days later, the cops come and knock on the door to do a walkthrough.
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Did you have it set up where you could kind of like hide it easily or?
Well, you know, we all had our medical cards. So, you know, it's different when you have like 150 plants or 100 plants or 80 plants. So, you know, you have it like five in there, it's not a big deal. And we just told him, like, next time, make sure you have a signature from a judge, you know? My buddy.
That was weird, though, because that what year was that? Because I remember it being a real weird gray area with medical weed, because they would kind of make up the rules as they went along and then figure it out later. That's what I remember.
Yeah. Well, this was also a party house, which I always kind of lectured my buddy about. I was like, man, but anyway, gosh, I want to say 2013.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, it was right around there. It was right at the peak of it before they switched to rec.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember them making up numbers, not making up, but they'd be like, if you have over 100 plants, you get raided by the feds, but if you have under 100, they'll probably leave you alone. It was just such an arbitrary thing.
Yeah, like they were more strict about it in like 06, 07, 08, maybe a little bit 09, but by 10, 11, 12, 13, they really didn't care. The only thing they cared about was like how bad you were breaking the law. Like if you were like obviously selling to people that didn't have medical cards, not selling to dispensaries, you know, like
right,
maybe trading for other drugs, you know, stuff like that.
You know, all those full of victim crimes that we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the cops were totally chill about it for the last few years of medical. Definitely, probably like the last 5 years, the cops were totally chill about it.
Well, they get tired of dealing with that shit too. I know that around here, especially, they got tired of dealing with paperwork with weed. They're like, yeah, we don't care. Most of us have smoked weed. We don't give a shit.
Yeah. And,
why are we
and
doing this?
Where I lived in Washington, the sheriffs were definitely the good guys, you know. Like the staters were kind of Nazis, townies were kind of either or, but the sheriffs were totally like good old boys. They're like country boys, you know, like they didn't care if you were drinking or whatever, you know, they're totally chill.
They were probably growing weed too.
Yeah. A lot of the growers were growing like right outside of town. So it was the sheriffs that would have to come over. And yeah, so the sheriffs definitely didn't like busting growers. You know, they didn't like busting stoners at all. The sheriffs are cool where I lived.
That's about the same out here too. The sheriffs are usually pretty laid back.
What part of Cali? I know you guys are in NorCal, but what part of Cali are you guys at?
We're like about 2 hours south of Oregon, so just about in the mountains. Not quite. We're at the very top of the valley.
Okay.
Yeah. We're kind of about by Mount Shasta?
About an hour hour away from Mount Shasta, yeah.
Are you guys in Humboldt or?
No, it's Shasta County, actually.
Oh, okay. All right.
We're about like, what, an hour and a half away from Humboldt?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, we're about an hour and a half from almost everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely hung out in Mendo and Humboldt a few times, like Laytonville and Weaverville, like out in the woods.
Oh, yeah. Weaverville's great.
I love that place, man.
Hayfork.
Is Weaverville part of Humboldt County?
It's Mendo,
Weaverville's Trinity.
Oh, okay. Trinity.
But then Humboldt's like right to the west of that, and then south of that's Mendo. And
yeah, Weaverville's only like, what, an hour away from us?
Yeah, only 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're real close to Weaverville.
Yeah, it really sucks that so many people went crazy on the West Coast, you know, because Northern California, the Oregon coast, Western Washington, Vancouver, all the way up to AK, it was like the best spot of the whole country, I thought, you know.
I think it used to be. It depends on what time period you're living in. Now it's just nuts. I mean, everybody who knows Portland is, I mean, they're self-described fucking weirdos, but they're weird in not really a fun way.
Yeah,
not anymore. If you've ever watched the show Portlandia, it is spot the fuck on. But then now you have that plus like extreme wokeism. It's really strange up there. I don't venture up to Oregon very often.
Yeah, I hope it stops at some point because I miss the West Coast, and it just sucks, you know. Like the college town that I lived in was the best place I ever lived in my entire life, you know. And everyone just went completely insane in like 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
It was like everyone was normal, insane. You know, there wasn't even a buffer zone.
Well, it's weird too because those areas are notoriously like anti-state, anti-government. Then all of a sudden 2020 happens and they're like, obey the experts, you motherfucker, put a mask on. It's like,
oh yeah,
I thought you guys were the anti-state people. That's weird.
The two counties that I lived in Western Washington, it was the liberals. They ate all organic. They're all about whole foods, superfoods, raw foods, natural cures. The liberals in the two counties that I lived in, they fought tooth and nail to get fluoride taken out of the water or to stop it from getting put in the water in the first place. And they won. We didn't have any fluoride in the two counties that I lived in. The liberals did all of that. And then like all of a sudden they're like mask Nazis, jab Nazis, you know, like
it's bizarre.
Like what happened to you guys?
So crazy.
You know,
it is the same group of people too. And I know that cause I had an old coworker, he's retired now, but the biggest fucking hippies you'll ever meet. The sweetest, nicest people, growing weed, just going to shows, you know, all about the CBD balm and all that stuff. As soon as 2020 hits, they're like, we're not going out of our house till there's a vaccine for this. I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? Rub some frankincense on your balls.
Smoke weed about it.
Yeah. What are you worried about?
So here's the thing, you know, and you know, learning from living in those liberal areas, that's how I got really good at natural remedies. I haven't been sick in 10 years since 2013. You know, nice. And it is just so nuts. The same people just went so crazy. But here's the thing, though. Do you guys think they would have went that crazy if Trump wasn't in office?
Probably not, because
I don't think so.
It was a great tee up to 2020, is winding all the liberals up with Trump's antics or whatever, and
yeah,
screaming memes and all those people that are just couldn't handle it and need yeah. safe spaces and all that. And then
because a lot of people think
hits and they're like, ah,
because a lot of people think that guy is still coming to save today and that he just got railroaded and stuff. And I was like, dude, they wouldn't have been able to pull off any of that without him. Like, he was like the yeah. important part of that whole puzzle, oh, yeah. you know,
to usher Biden in for sure. They had to demonize Trump. That was so clear in 2020. I feel like he might get elected again just because it would piss everyone off more and cause yeah. further division.
And it would kind of encode 9/11 because he was the 54th president, which adds up to 9, and then it'll be the 56th, which adds up to 11. So they could, you know.
You never know. And this whole thing, I don't know, not to sidetrack too much, but this is, you know, coming up soon, but have you looked into the eclipse on April 8th at all?
No. I know it's not going to be where I'm at, and I don't think I'm going to be able to drive to go see it, but I heard about, like, you know, NASA's going to be launching, like, 6 rockets, and, you know, people are getting
CERN's firing up again.
Yeah.
The National Guard's coming out to multiple cities in the direct path, or whatever it's called.
No, I was talking to Ron from New England yesterday, I think, about this, and I'm like, I really want to make it clear that I don't think anything's going to happen at all. Yeah, I think it's one of those other, you know, these things that they, I don't know, I don't want to call everything a distraction, but they're, for some reason, everybody's been pointed in this direction of looking at this eclipse. Weirdos and normies alike, they're all being pointed in this direction for some reason. And there is a lot of weirdness around it, like Jen was saying, with the National Guard, schools closing, people being, you know, off work. Like, it's a fucking eclipse. It happens every few, you know, several years. Why?
I don't know. I think is this happening now? People are weirder now more than ever. And people are freaking out about conspiracies. Like, that's what everyone's talking about in the news, the conspiracy theorists. And we're, you know, those people, which is fine. But, but I think some cities are planning for a bunch of weirdos to be in their towns. So they're like, just in case. So they're closing schools, letting everyone stay home, and bringing in the National Guard to some places. That's my logical reasoning.
I just don't remember this ever happening at any other eclipse. We were basically in the path of totality in 2017. None of that happened. People were like, look up at, you know, whatever time and you can see it and then go about your fucking day.
Yeah, we were actually in Humboldt County during that eclipse. And it was overcast as hell, and we didn't see anything. It just got really dark. That's it.
there's a lot of, like, esoteric things around it too. That's why I was asking if you looked into it at all, because there is there's just a lot of weirdness. There's people that are saying that the moon is not even going to be in a position to cause the eclipse. Like, it's going to be not near it. There's a lot of weirdness. There's people thinking it's Planet X coming over, and there's the volcanoes and the earthquakes are ramping up again, and it just sounds like a repeat of 2020 fear porn shit. So I don't know. Yeah, we'll find out on April 8th.
It's just like Y2K. That was a big nothing burger. Yeah. 2012 was a big nothing burger. You know, I mean, yeah.
It's 2020 was a nothing burger too, but they made it into a burger. So with cheese and salad.
A bunch of grown adults afraid to catch a cold.
it's killing grandma, dude. How dare you?
Yeah. And, there's a lot of esoteric stuff with the eclipses, and with the moon, man, I don't even think the moon has anything to do with the eclipse. So many people have used so many different filters, so many different cameras, and tried their hardest to get a shot of the moon crossing the sun, and no one's done it. No one can, you know?
No, it doesn't make any sense. I've said the same thing. It makes no sense that you wouldn't see the silhouette of the moon before it gets to the sun. You don't see the silhouette of it at all. All you see is it crossing the sun. If there's something that big in the sky, it would be casting a shadow way before it got to the sun.
Yeah.
Not to get all Dave Weiss flat earth, because he actually did a really cool video where he showed what he thinks the eclipse is. I'll have to link to that in the show notes or something. But
the nodes.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is tied to the lunar and solar cycle. I mean, you know, like, the lunar eclipse happens on a full moon. The solar eclipse happens on a new moon. So there is, like, you know, that's basically what they base it off of. But yeah, there's no evidence for it. It's not like they have a video of it, a picture of it, or anything, you know?
Yeah, wouldn't you think NASA would have some kind of a crazy camera where they could point it up during the eclipse and be like, look, you can see the moon all the way up to the point it hits the sun and then leaving the sun. There's none of that. All you see is the weird thing,
you know,
whatever
thing
is moving in front of the sun.
If they could have faked it, they would have done it a long time ago. But now everyone is examining them with a microscope, and they can't get away with anything anymore, you know?
I think that's another part of the AI surge that's going on, is because now they can blame everything on AI, and I blame everything on AI. And that might be part of the program, because now AI is so, it's getting good enough that you can't tell half the time unless you really look at it. So I think that's another part of, I'm not saying specifically NASA, but the whole agenda in general is they can be like, oh, well, that's obviously not real, it's AI. And they don't have to really answer for any of their, what do they call it, composites of space that they put out. You know, who fucking knows? I don't know. It's a
Yeah,
mess.
it is, you know. So yeah, you know, like so shortly after we moved out of that apartment and stuff, that's when I really started ramping up with magic and everything and psychic development and all of that. And I got into the habit of, because I was living in it's kind of like a private community. It's not gated or anything, but it's a small community in a rural area. It's like right on two lakes. Like the best well water in the whole state. And then I had like a giant mountain right there. And so I would go up the mountain and just make a bunch of offerings to like the spirits out there. And that really kind of catapulted things, started getting into more into like evocation and everything, psychic development. And I was working in a bar at the time, which is like the perfect training ground, you know, to really, because you see everything in real time. You know, with your money, the way people interact with you know. And so I eventually got into radionics. Here's a small radionics machine right here.
Nice. What
Have
does
you
it
guys does
do?
that do?
Ever heard of radionics?
It sounds familiar, but I would not give a definition
Oh,
by any means.
it's a fascinating history. Like you probably know about Royal Raymond Rife and the Rife machine, Rife Tech, all that.
I do know about the Rife machine, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's basically a form of radionics. It's completely different than what this is, but it's more or less the same thing. You know, what he's doing is definitely, I mean, the guy was a genius. But so it started in the I want to say like 1918. This Dr. Abrams started it when he was testing people. He started noticing acoustic sounds in people's bodies when he would tap them with the was it a stethoscope they use?
Yeah.
And so he started noticing like diseased organs made like a really flat note where like healthy organs would like kind of resonate a little bit more. And so he was the kind of the first guy that created radionics. And then people started making like more like just totally different style of machines where they're using like knobs and frequencies and radio waves and everything. And within like a few years, there was like 30,000 doctors using this stuff. And they were able to not just treat illnesses and not just do and do it remotely, but they were also able to like diagnose people and stuff. And then the FDA found out about it. They confiscated a bunch of machines. They destroyed them. A bunch of the guys got thrown in prison. A lot of them died in prison. A lot of radionics practitioners, like the newer ones, they don't even like to use do healing, and they're really careful when they do because of this whole fiasco that happened. And there was actually some radionics practitioners, I think, in Britain, and they were going to court over this, a couple of doctors. And it this was like the 1920s, I think it's right around 1920, 25 maybe. And the judge's wife had cancer, and at the time, you know, cancer is a death sentence, you know, 1920, you know. And the radionics practitioners were like, oh, really? Do you think you could maybe let us try to help? And he was like, dude, I'll try anything. So the judge gives them a witness sample for his wife. They totally got rid of her cancer. And then the judge was like, yeah, I'm dropping the charges. You know?
Nice.
Yeah, it's good. It's good he had the integrity, you know.
Does that cross over with the Gerson method too, or have you ever heard of those being used together?
Yeah, so how I actually found out about radionics was I stumbled on an interview by this guy, Jeff Harvey, and he was in like naval intelligence. I think he was like a remote viewer at one point, probably one of their training programs or whatever they had back in like the 70s. And he was using like holistic foods and raw foods and radionics all in tangent with each other. And he was even like programming his foods Like he would make like an organic pizza and then program the pizza with like vitamins and nutrients and everything. You know, he was doing like restructured water and all that. And I remember when I stumbled on the interview, gosh, I want to say it was 17. I was like, man, I got to find this guy before they kill him. And as soon as I Googled his name, I was like, ah, crap. They killed him like a few weeks before or like a few months before. Did you guys pay attention when all those holistic doctors were dying from like 2016, 2017, and a little bit 2018? I think it was like 200, 300 of like these like top leading holistic doctors were just like unaliving themselves and you
No,
know.
but
They
that's a
hang
very
them.
interesting timing right before 2020 that all the
Yeah.
holistic doctors died.
Yeah, and it was like the leading ones. He was like number 10 on the list.
Were they hanging
And
themselves and then shooting themselves in the face?
yeah, shooting themselves twice in the back of the head and all sorts of
Right.
stuff,
We know the story, yep.
Zipping themselves
Yeah.
up into a suitcase and throwing themselves into a river, things like
And then shooting
that.
themselves.
Yeah.
And now, time for your friendly ad break.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And but that was how I found out about it. And but a lot of those radionics machines are really expensive. And you know, like these ones are kind of like more of a wishing machine style, a lot more affordable, and you can have a lot of them in an area, you know, like a 5-tier shelf, you can have like a whole arsenal,
So
you
what
know.
does it do? Like, can you show us what it does, or?
Does it generally cure you, or doesn't it have to be tuned to a certain frequency to heal a certain, you know,
So
ailment?
that's a really good question. And a lot of the old schoolers will say it does have to be tuned to a certain frequency and all of that. And it, you know, after making a bunch of these and using them and over the years and researching it, I don't think so. I think it's all about intent. You know, I think all the frequency does is just hold on to your intent and then it amplifies it. You know, so what you do is, all right, here we go.
Did you make this, by the way?
Oh yeah, I make them and sell them. Yeah, they're great.
Oh,
That's
nice.
awesome.
Yeah. So in its simplest form, it's basically a thought form amplifier. You know?
So is it something you
So
plug in, or is it like
oh
D
yeah.
batteries, or?
Yeah, it's electric. I got a little cord right here. I don't have it plugged in or anything, so you're not gonna see the light turn on when I turn it on. So this is the input plate, this is the stick plate. And you put whatever you want on the input plate. You know, like most people when they get into like magic and metaphysics and radionics, like I wouldn't say most, but a lot of people, they either want to get laid, they want to get paid, or they want revenge. You know, it's always like one of
It's always
those three
something
things.
bad,
I wouldn't say
self-serving.
bad. I wouldn't even say it's bad. I mean, like even something like revenge, do you like cops aren't there to help you? You know what I mean? Like, let's say someone victimizes your child and they get away with it, or they get a light sentence. They get like a year in prison, a year in jail. You know, what if they don't go to prison at all because the entire time the court was happening, you know, they got time served, which is like double time, you know? So what, you know, it happens all the time. Drug dealers get way more time in prison than pedophiles do. It's
Oh
just a
yeah.
fact, you know? So
I think most of the general American public don't have time to do this radionics magic spell. They just go out and just start blasting if that happens. Somebody fucks with your
yeah.
kid, it's just,
And
I'm not doing magic.
that's an issue because now your kid's got to live 20 years of their life with you in prison. And
Yeah, exactly.
you'll probably get a light sentence for killing a predator. You know, you're probably not going to get like a 30-year sentence, but you're still going to be in there for 15, maybe 20 years.
Still homicide, probably longer than the offender would be,
I think
which
if
is
everyone
wild.
started killing predators, they would give them longer sentences just to curb the crime. Maybe we should
Yeah.
all do that.
We don't condone violence here on Legit Bat, but if you're so inclined to go, unalive a local predator,
To kill a predator.
I'm not gonna
Yeah.
say anything. That's all I'm saying.
I see it as fair game. As long as it's not like some 19-year-old kid that hooked up with like a 16-year-old chick or a
Right.
15-year-old
That's a
chick, you
totally
know? Or a
different
drunk
thing.
dude that
Yeah,
took a
that's
piss
different.
and didn't know the school was there at night and they're like, now you're a sex offender.
Yeah,
He's like, what? I was
totally. Or
taking
a
a
drunk
pee.
guy
Oh,
that pees on the sidewalk. Like, that's
yeah.
not a sex
Yeah.
crime. Yeah.
It's your NAMBLA types, you know.
No, so if you're walking around in a preschool waving your wiener around, dead, you're done.
So this is the input plate. This is the output plate. The output plate's also a stick plate, and I'll get into that. So you put whatever your intent is on the input plate, plus like something that represents your target. You know, like if it's for you, I usually just use a signature of myself, you know, but you could use a picture, a piece of hair, whatever. The old schoolers would use like blood samples or hair samples, you know, like just like a piece of hair, something that has like DNA, like direct charge to you, but you don't need that. I mean, a picture printed off the internet works just fine.
How about dandruff?
Probably. They probably work.
It's a skin sample, right?
Honestly, if it's for you, you don't even need something to represent you on it. It's you know, like that's another thing that some of the old schoolers do that you don't even really need. And when you get good at them, you don't even need a witness sample at all. You can just focus on your intent, dial your rate. So anyway, you put everything on the input plate. You start stroking rubbing the stick plate, and you start dialing the knobs. And eventually, you'll get like it'll stick. They call it stick, but it feels like almost like when you rub your hand across a balloon, where you kind of skips across the surface. It's like that. It's basically a form of dowsing. It's not much different than using a pendulum or muscle testing. So you get your intent. Dial your rate. And I don't even need to use a stick.
You're just kind of feeling it out and finding the right knob setting on it.
And then you put the thing that represents a target, put it on the stick plate, which is also the output plate, turn it on, and set it and forget it. It's like the crock pot of magic. You just set it and forget it, you know?
How long do you got to leave your dandruff on there, though? I mean, or whatever you put on the input plate.
So there's a few things. One guy... Charles Cosimano, he was a pioneer in it. He would use like a pendulum like this, and he would see like up and down as yes, side by side as no. Yeah. So he would hold it over the machine and see how long it would take. And he would just run it for whatever it said. So it'd be like, is it going to take at least 12 hours? No. Is it going to take 8 hours? Yes. Is it going to take 8 hours and 30 minutes? No. 20 minutes? Yes. Okay. You just dial it down to whatever time it is. And he would just let it run and then set a timer, turn it off, and then forget and go about his day. And I tried that when I first got into it. I'm going to try it again. I didn't like that method as much. I kind of prefer just letting it run. And then once you start seeing it manifest, to turn it off, you know. And some things will take... almost right away. Like when I was working in the bar, I could turn business on and off like a light switch. I mean, like really turn it on, you know, where, you know, everyone like, made
I need
a lot
to
of
make money now.
Yeah. Just crank it up. And, and I would get results like literally the next day, or even if I turned it on in the morning, I would get results. So with the bar, it was like, but you know, like the bar industry and brewery industry in Western Washington, it's like one of the biggest industries, you know, it's like, it's booming. Washingtonians drink a lot, you know?
Well, it's West Coast people there. You got to do something.
Yeah, you know, it's just rain all the time.
Yeah.
So I like doing that way. My favorite thing to do, though, and I'll just pull one of these up. This is one that I already burned. This is an old Vigil candle. But I like using the Vigil candles and program it and charge it for about a week. And then I... we'll just use that as part of my offerings when I make an offering or whatever on my altar, or just, you know, or maybe part of an evocation. But I get my fastest results when I program and charge a Vigil candle. I get good results either way, but I get my fastest results with doing the Vigil candle.
So what are you making when you're making an offering? What does that mean?
It could be anything, but you know, usually it's just like some candles, some incense, you know, you could leave out some coffee or tea or libation. I actually make moonshine that I use for offerings and for fire scrying, because I don't even drink alcohol. I quit alcohol, you know, like a while ago. But I have a silver chalice, and then I'll fill it up with like that much moonshine. So I get a flame, you know, about this big and with a lot of dynamics to it. And then, you know, summon a spirit into it and full manifestation. Then I talk to it. It tells me some stuff, and then it brings me some stuff.
Wait, what? Hold on. What's the coolest thing a spirit ever said to you?
Or brought you? They bring you a cheeseburger?
Dude, they'll bring you anything, man. I mean, almost when it comes to magic and radionics, rule number one is it has to be probable or physically possible. I mean, that's number one. Like, you're not going to grow like angel wings and fly around like, you know, you know what I mean? Like,
Lame. I'm out.
Yeah. You know, you're not going to just like grow like an extra arm to play better guitar or something, you know, or better drums, you know? So it has to be physically possible, number one, and then somewhat probable, number two. And the probable part is slightly more flexible. You know, if the more probable it is, the faster it's going to manifest, you know?
So it's like DoorDash for spirits, kind of. They're like, we'll bring it to you just a little quicker than you could get it yourself, basically.
Well, I look at the spirit realm as like the Mexicans that hang out outside of like Home Depot, only instead of paying them $15, $20 an hour, they work for like candles and incense. Maybe, you know, some people use blood and stuff, but you really don't need to. Just a couple of candles and incense, you know, even just tea lights, you know, like three or four tea lights, a stick of incense. That works just fine.
So are they that bored that they're just like, ooh, incense and candles. Yeah, whatever you want, bro. Like genies rubbing the lamp, and they're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah,
like,
are you worried that they're low level entities that are preying on you?
No.
Okay.
No, there's a huge difference from that, and anyone that's worth their salt knows the difference. You know.
No, we talked about this with Allison Gray about how the Bible just says to test the spirits. It doesn't say there isn't any. It just says maybe ask them some questions before you get involved with them.
Yeah, I mean negative entities. You know, they're really easy to deal with. The ones out here, like the one that was in my house when I first moved in, you know, that one was a little bit more persistent than I've dealt with in the past. But for the most part, they're super easy to get rid of, you know.
So are the ones like the lady hanging from the ceiling fan, was that an inherently bad one, or is it just benign? It was just something hanging out.
No, there was a negative entity in there. And that's one of the things, like, disincarnate are usually pretty harmless for the most part. You know, they usually just kind of hang out, and half the time when people think there's a disincarnate there, it's really just like an apparition. It's almost like a psychic photograph that's in the room. But like actual disincarnate, they're usually pretty harmless, except for like when you're dealing with like a disincarnate from a suicide. You know, those are a whole nother can of worms, you know, because you also have like what people would call like a demon, you know, or a negative entity or something. You know,
yeah. Have you ever come across one like that? Those like either physically or otherwise like aggressive or hostile?
Yeah, for the most part, they'll just drain you. But yeah, they can be aggressive and hostile. They can hurt people. You know, they can kill people. You know.
Well, fuck.
Yeah. How do they do that? Do they do it through like cancer or disease, or do they do it? I mean,
that's more importantly, how do you kill them?
You usually just get rid of them. I don't know. Don't judge me for this, but I usually just like send them to someone I don't like, you know, because not only are you getting rid of it, but you're also kind of keeping them preoccupied. It's almost like an offering in itself.
That explains a lot of Biden's speeches. Thank you for that. Appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah. You know, so, but I mean, for the most part, they're easy to get rid of, you know, a couple salt baths. One of the first things people usually learn when they're getting into magic is like the lesser banishing ritual, the pentagram. And, you know, that'll help a little bit. You know, especially if your house is already clean and stuff. But if you have a negative entity that's been there for a while, you physically have to like get rid of the ectoplasm, physically get rid of it, you know.
So you're talking like to get rid of the ectoplasm, you're talking like Windex or bleach, or what are you using?
Yeah, how do you see the ectoplasm? How do you know it's there?
Well, the more you do it and the more psychic you are, you're just gonna notice it. You're just gonna be able to see it, you know. Like, I can tell when I moved in here that whatever was in here for a long time, you know, like well over 30 years, probably, you know, because you just saw it everywhere, you know.
Was it unhappy with that? Did it want to go?
Oh, no, it wanted to stay, you know, for sure.
Oh.
Yeah, it was more persistent than the other ones. Like I said, I'm also really close to Skinwalker Ranch. The Skinwalkers, I guess, is a thing out here. I don't know.
Well, have you seen any other things like any other? I don't want to lump it in with paranormal stuff, but like UFOs or anything like that.
No, not really. You know, I mean, if you look up at the sky, you'll sometimes see stuff, but I've never invested in like night vision goggles or spent a lot of time with it. I've never seen any actual cryptids either, you know, and I know people that have seen cryptids and they're super serious about it. And a lot of them like aren't even liars or anything, like people you can trust, like fairly normal. And they swear up and down they've seen like a Bigfoot or whatever. And so I don't know. You guys have probably talked to a lot of cryptid guys. Do you guys think like Bigfoot's like an actual physical animal, or do you think it's like a more of a spiritual thing? Or just
Get me started. So all of this stuff, it does sound reductive, but it's because of years of looking into this stuff that I think that all of it is somewhat the same phenomenon, just appearing to different people in a different way. And I don't want to lump everything into that, but it kind of seems like that. Like anything like Bigfoot or maybe aliens or even ghosts or paranormal activity, it seems like just a different way this, and it could be, I mean, it could be different dimensions or something too, and you're kind of crossing over, phasing in and out, or whatever you want to call it, whatever words you want to use for it. But it just seems like there's some people that see Bigfoot and are all up into that, and they have tons of experience with that. There's other people that don't, but they'll see ectoplasm or, like, you know, paranormal activity. And then there's other people that don't see any of that, but they see UFOs all the fucking time. Or there's the other people that see none of that, but Archangel Michael visits them all the time. So yeah. I don't know. It seems like it's in the same area of things that, just depending on your upbringing or your mental state, they appear to you differently based on maybe what you want to see or what you, I don't know. It's hard to explain. I don't fucking know, because I don't have any experience with any of this. I don't see any of this shit.
Yeah. What do you think it is?
If it's real at all, it would have to be somewhat spiritual or transdimensional or interdimensional or something, because, you know, the whole reason why I moved out to Utah was like a series of events that happened, but I found a compound bow when I was walking my dog. And then, you know, I brought it home, started goofing around with it. And then I got a real bow after that. And then I started looking into hunting and stuff. And I was looking at like which states had like the most elk. Utah was one of them. And so what I'm getting to is like, there's a lot of seasoned killers out there. Like there are guys that have been hunting their entire lives and they are just seasoned killers. They have really high success rates. There's trail cameras all over the place. And I can't help but feel like if Bigfoot was an actual like living animal, it would be on display at a Cabela's by now.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
I think we can both agree that we don't know what Bigfoot is. We haven't looked into it too much, but we've heard enough stories that it's definitely more something spiritual than a physical animal that's just hiding.
Or etheric
somewhere.
Or whatever you want to say. But that's kind of what I was getting at, is that it's the same reason we don't have a ghost on display in the Smithsonian. It's because it's not something you could physically catch and put in a jar. You know, as far as we know, you can't catch a UFO and put it on display either yet. That's what I mean by the thread of all of that being together, but I could be totally wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating to talk about and think about. But yeah, I mean, I just think if he was an actual physical animal, he'd be dead. Like, we would see it, you know? There's just too many good hunters out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and hillbillies and stuff. If they, even the most hillbilliest off-grid dude, he catches a Bigfoot, he's coming down to town to show somebody.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But
yeah, but they say they can't. Whenever hunters see Bigfoot, they can't find their phone, or they don't think about it. They don't even think about shooting it, or they're gun freezes up, or you remember,
or the like camera, the camera's always, they actually have a word for it, the Bigfoot camera. Anytime something's blurry, it's like, oh, they must use
the
their Bigfoot
messes
camera
up, or it's a little too far away, it phases out of vision.
Oh, that reminds me, actually, we're gonna have Brandon Thomas on in a couple weeks to talk about Bigfoot, and he's gonna bring some presenters. So normally that's not something we would talk about on a whole show. I've mentioned it before, I don't really give a shit about Bigfoot, but it's one of those things that ties into a lot of this other stuff. And it is weird that there's people that take Bigfoot, that they don't believe in anything else, but they believe in Bigfoot and that it's an animal or a half human that they can catch or something. And like, that's what, like what you were saying, if that was possible, that would have fucking happened by now.
Yeah.
So those are the people I don't understand. Like, think outside the box here. This thing's like phasing in and out of dimensions or something, or it knows how to, or it's doing it on accident, or it's just Chewbacca. I don't know.
It kind of reminds me of like in Hunger Games when they're unleashing whatever they're unleashing, the tracker jackers or the dogs or whatever they do, they can manifest these things, but they're not really manifesting them. They're already in this dome type area where you can bring anything to life. And maybe that's the plane we live on right now. Just like Hunger Games, where whatever rules over us, whether it's good or bad, can be like, eh, let's do murder hornets today. Let's do not really so serious illness strain. Let's see how people react.
Let's push the button for the eclipse and all that weird stuff. Let's see how that goes. Yeah, it's like a movie script.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you get to some of the bigger Mandela effects, not just like the pop culture references, but some of the bigger Mandela effects, you know, it's a trip, you know, to think of like, you know, the Panama Canal used to go east to west. Now it goes north to south, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you didn't know that
one. No.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. The land changes are huge. Like Cuba used to be an island, a slightly smaller island on the southeast of Florida. Now it's like bigger than Florida and goes all the way to the Gulf and almost touches Mexico.
Oh, weird.
That's weird.
I'll have to look up some old maps.
The weirdest Mandela effect, it's not really that weird, but we always thought that Thanksgiving was on the third Thursday of November, and it's really on the fourth Thursday of November. Not that big of a deal, but I just remember that my whole life. I remember my mom telling me that, the third Thursday.
Everybody I've asked agrees, and I'm like, no, look at your old calendars. It's the fourth fucking Thursday.
Our sister-in-law just said it the other day. She's like, yeah, you know how November's on the third, or November, Thanksgiving's on the third Thursday of November? And we're like, no. It's not now.
Fourth one.
It's stupid little things that they're just gaslighting us, trying to fuck with our heads.
Yeah, even some of our organs have changed places. You know, the heart used to be left of center, now it's dead center. Our kidneys used to be low. That's why you couldn't do like kidney shots in boxing, and now they're like up high, kind of in the rear cage a little bit.
Really?
Weird.
Yeah.
That's just evolution, bro. That's how evolution works.
Yeah.
No, I love the, I know it's way beating a dead horse, but the Fruit of the Loom thing, that recently, it's really been, people have been finding old Fruit of the Loom labels with the cornucopia on it.
Yeah,
and
the company
fucking denies it ever happened. Is that just a joke they're playing just to fuck with people? Because it's like, no, it's not that we all misremembered it. Now there's people coming up with the actual, like, old t-shirts or old skibbies that have the fucking cornucopia on it. So why would you do that?
It seems like a joke at this point because they have the history of their logo on their website. Like, what company does that?
They responded to it and were like, no, we've never had the cornucopia. This is all the logos we've ever had. It's like, why would you
care so much?
Yeah, why? It makes no sense.
Yeah, the residue is crazy. You know, same with like Jiffy. You know, you go back to some of the old catalogs and there's the old Jiffy logo instead of Jif.
No, the peanut butter thing.
Yeah, the Jiffy burger and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy with some of the residue. Another weird thing about the Mandela effect is it seems like it's interactive. It seems like it communicates with us. Like right before 2020, right before the lockdowns happened, that quote in the Bible went from when two or more are gathered in my name, went changed to two or three are gathered in my name.
Really?
Right before the lockdowns.
And that was the standard King James, the authorized version?
It's all of them.
Weird.
It's all of them. And it's retroactive. It goes all the way back to the old translations and everything.
So what do you think that is? I like to hear different people's perspectives on these things. I don't necessarily think we like jumped dimensions or something. I don't know what it is. It could be that. But what do you think that is? All these things.
Well, so one thing I've learned from doing magic and stuff and paying attention to omens and stuff is this realm is really interactive. You know, so one of the reasons why I first like really went balls deep in the magic and really like took it really serious. And instead of just like putting it on the shelf and dusting it off, putting it back on the shelf, you know, was someone put a curse on me. And when the person put a curse on me, I really saw just how physical magic is, but all these omens started happening on top of like, you know, a total chaotic shitstorm. But, like 666 started popping up everywhere. Not that 666 is necessarily even a bad number, but it's a reliable warning to people that know to pay attention to stuff like that. And, you know, like birds started flying into the car and hitting the windows at home, hitting the windows. I mean, all these things started happening. And then, you know, when we broke the curse and everything, the exact opposite happened. Like all these good omens started happening. And, you know, I just think this realm communicates with each of us on an intimate and personal level, but people just don't know that that's what's happening. Everyone thinks everything's a coincidence, you know, and it's not.
Or it's all chaos. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, like, but,
We're not taught that when we're young. We're taught exactly how to do things, and it has nothing to do with probably how we should actually be doing things and how this world operates.
Well, yeah, and you're describing synchronicities too, and a lot of people are like, oh, that was a dumb like coincidence. But to the person, it's always way more important because it's just because it's subjective to the person. So when you have a synchronicity, like this happens all the time. I think I've talked about it, but where I'll be listening to a podcast, think of a word, and 2 seconds later that word pops up on the podcast. That means nothing to me. I don't know what it means. It's just weird because it happens all the fucking time. Yeah. And I don't know what to make of that. Or you'll hear something and then see that word, or you know what I'm talking about? Like just weird little things like that, that don't mean anything to anybody else, but it just hits you weird personally. Cause you're like, what?
Or sometimes, especially when you're doing magic and you're working with spirits and stuff, cause they can kind of talk through people for you. But you know, there's times where you're like thinking about like a question in your head, and someone will come up to you and answer that question as part of what they're talking about without even knowing they're answering your question, without even knowing that's going on in your head.
Right.
You know,
stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just think that's the nature of this place. You know, I think reality is pretty malleable, and magic really shows that, you know, you can work some real serious miracles in people's lives, you know, and it makes me feel good to do that.
Trained like that.
Well, it's another thing too. You know, when you talk about like conspiracies and things being suppressed and stuff, like geocentrism is like one of those things that got really suppressed and people get really triggered about it. But magic is almost like one of the things people get really triggered about. Like all the religious institutions will tell you that magic's evil. It's a sin. It comes from the devil, even though it's our natural being, state of being is magic. People do magic all the time. They don't even know it. I mean, how many people do you? Yeah. How many people do you guys know that subconsciously curse themselves all the time and they don't even know it? Yeah. Almost everyone, you know, go ride a Metro bus when you're on vacation, you know, like you'll see those people all the time, you know, and then, you know, the scientific community, they want to tell you that it's superstition, it's fake, it's, you know, retarded. And it's not, it's, I think it's the highest science. I think all religion is basically bullshit. Like there's some gems in there. If you can eat the fruit and throw away the peel, you know, some religion I guess is okay. But for the most part, like the real religion that ties everything together, it's who we are, it's what our place is, it's what this realm is and how it works, is magic. All of it works with magic. And you know, the predator class that runs the world, they know this. You know, they use it all the time. That's why so many truthers are so superstitious against magic, you know, is because they see it in like pop culture and award ceremonies and stuff like that.
And it's the way it's used too, but it's like we've talked about too, it's a tool, it's a hammer. You can build something with it or smash somebody in the fucking face with it. It looks like the parasite class does like to use it to smash people in the face. So I can see why people would not want any of that, but yeah.
And they keep it from us with science and religion, because those are methods of control. So they're like, you will be dependent on religion. That's where your magic will come from. You'll worship us, you'll pay us. And that's the magic. You pray and maybe you'll get what you want. But also, science will say magic's ridiculous. You have to take our pills. This is the way that everything works, and you just listen to that and follow that. You can't do anything on your own.
Well,
they take our own power away from us.
The scientism religion convinced a lot of actual religions to follow them too, because there's a shitload of Christians that are like, "What? I'm not going to use natural cures." It's like, no, God, that's God stuff. The stuff you said God made. Yeah, that's the medicine. No, it's fine. I'll take Oxycontin.
Funny about that too is like all of our medications, they come from chemicals that are found in plants and herbs, and then they just synthesize it with petroleum chemicals.
Right. You know? I told my mom that. I was like, it's not that it's bad. It's using a natural substance found in plants, but it's more of a perversion because it's extracting it and then concentrating it and adding stuff to it. It's not the medicine it was meant to be. Like I you could probably go chew on some you know, heroin poppies and be better off than shooting heroin, I would think. Don't take my word for it, but I would imagine.
Pharmaceuticals are like taking the soul out of the plant and giving you whatever's left over.
Totally.
Giving you the plant poop.
And there's so many side effects. I mean, just look at the world we're living in, especially in America, dude. Like, everyone's like, no offense to anyone, I'm not trying to body shame anyone, but everyone's fat and retarded in America. Like, almost everyone is. And I notice it, you know, when you, and because it wasn't even really like that 40, 50, 60 years ago. You know, when you look at like the Woodstock documentary, you know, 1969, there's not a single mutant in that entire crowd. Not dude, one
been
single
so
mutant.
Many of those. Yeah, so many pictures from the 70s and 60s that it's like, look at this. Nobody was fat. Not that I'm all, that's all I'm saying. Nobody was fat.
So even in movies, you would have like the one fat person because it was like a token person. It wasn't like everyone in the whole movie was fat because that's just not how it was.
And it was very
people
obvious.
Looked normal. Yeah.
And people called him Big Tom or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Or you Fat know, Amy.
Fat Amy.
Yeah. When I was a little kid, there'd be like one big kid and a group of friends, and now there's like one or two skinny kids in a group of friends, you know?
Yeah, and they're like, are you eating enough?
And it's not just that, you know, you have asthma, like...
diabetes.
Moderate to severe brain damage from soft metals passing the blood-brain barrier from getting injected with a bunch of poison on the day they're born, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm not going to be too generous, but maybe in 50 years, people will look back and be like, those were a bunch of retarded faggots back then. Look what they did. The baby came out flying out of the vagina and they immediately stuck it with like 17 needles.
If they keep doing that, though, there might not be people who will think like that in the future.
That's what I'm saying. Because right now we're, you know, this generation of kids that have come up right now, they're like, their parents are brain damaged from these soft metals. From the aluminum, you know? Yeah. So now you have these injection damage adults having injection damage kids, you know? They used to
get... Okay, it's going to be more like Idiocracy. I retract the statement.
You know, they were giving kids 72 of these things throughout their childhood. Now it's up to 108, you know?
Jesus.
And all these people say, trust the science and everything. It's like one of those things. Well, what's a safe amount for you? 10, 20, 30? Because they're getting over 100, you know?
And the science of vaccines is a topic for a whole show. We could do a 3-hour show just on that with Ellie or somebody because it's people don't like that topic at all.
I don't think they're bad for everybody. I don't think they hurt everybody. I don't think they're necessarily beneficial, but they definitely affect a lot of people, and the whole pharmaceutical industry denies it tooth and nail every time. They're like, no, they're super safe.
They won't even allow any studies. You know, they won't even allow the data to be entered into the conversation. They won't even allow the data.
So they're saying, you know? Trust the science without being able to actually do open science. Okay.
Yeah, totally. It's like with everything, though. But it's funny because, you know, a lot of truthers and stuff, they want to talk crap about magicians and occultists and stuff. It was the magicians and the occultists back in like 1910, 1920, 1930 that were speaking out against it, you know?
Speaking out against...
Against vaccines?
Vaccines, yeah. And things like that?
Yeah, against injections, yeah.
Interesting.
It was the occultists that were saying, no, this is going to destroy humanity, you know?
It makes sense. Well, dude, we're going to wrap up here. We are over an hour now. Nice. Thank you so much for coming on. Did you have any closing statements or words of wisdom before we get out of here?
Oh, wait. And you do you sell the radionics machine that you make?
Yeah. Well, I have a bunch of different kinds. I just brought the simple one out because I didn't want to dial like 9 dials to show a demonstration.
Yeah. Let people know where they can find it. Do you have a website where you sell it?
Yeah. I'll put it in the show notes, whatever your contact info is.
Yeah. Not a website yet. My YouTube channel is My Apotheosis. My Instagram is Lord Byron Jester. One word, all lowercase, and then I have an Etsy. But if people like contact me and go through like Cash App or something, especially if they live in America, I can give them a much better deal.
Okay, cool,
awesome, sounds good. Well, yeah, just shoot me your links and stuff, and I'll put them in the show notes.
Yeah, and if anyone says like legit bad or something, like a promo code or something, you know, I'll hook them up and then give you guys like a kickback or something.
All right, yeah. So you heard him. If you want to buy one of these things, just mention.
What up, retarded faggots?
Will that work as a promo code?
Yeah.
Or you can just say this. Whatever works. I mean, he'll know. If you say that, he'll know exactly who sent you. So.
Say legit bat sent you. You fuck.
Faggots. All right, dude. Thank you so much. Great talk. We will catch you on the Instagrams. Thank you for everybody on Rockfin, YouTube, and audio. We will see you next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thank you for listening to Legit Pet. Please address all content grievances to gofuckyourself@yourmom.com. See you next week.